We stand for our verse and repeat with our gospel. Alleluia. Your words were found, and I ate them.
And your words became to me a joy and delight of my heart. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now then the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They saw that some of the disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Be seated for our time. Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are we really having an argument about washing their hands before they eat? I mean, that is really just common sense. Who wants to sit down with someone with filthy fingers at the dinner table? Were Jesus' disciples just a bunch of slobs? No, none of this is the point. This morning, the issue between Jesus and the Pharisees has nothing to do with hygiene. The issue is traditions and the place those traditions have in the lives of God's people. Now, we have plenty of traditions here in the church. They are good, and there is a proper place for them. But why do we have traditions in the church? Well, they help teach theological truths. They give us a common practice that helps bind us together. They can even help build and strengthen faith. Now, a few examples of these would be making the sign of the cross at the beginning of the service in the invocation and at other points during the service. It's meant to remind you of your baptism and the benefits that you received from it. Another is the church calendar that we follow. Beginning in December, it's Advent and then Christmas, on to Lent, Easter, Pentecost, or what we also call the time of the church, and each with its own color. As you can see, we are in the season of Pentecost now, and all of the paraments on the altar are green. The calendar walks us through the life and ministry from birth to crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And this calendar also connects Christians all over the world as we celebrate these same events of salvation at the same time. So clearly, these few are good traditions. But what about what's happening in our gospel this morning? Well, Mark explains the traditions the Jews had of washing their hands and other things as a ritual before they ate. He writes, "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." Now, it does seem reasonable to wash your hands, doesn't it? In fact, it could serve a good theological purpose. It could remind you of your need to be pure before the Lord, which was a concern of the Jews. We know that they could not enter the temple area and participate in certain aspects of their spiritual and social activities if they were ritually unclean. And of course, there is the idea of being clean on the inside, with a pure heart free from the stain of sin. Any tradition that would remind us of this would be very helpful, like the tradition of observing the seasons of Advent and Lent. Jesus also mentions the tradition called Corban, meaning giving an offering to God. Can't really say anything bad about that, can we? However, the problem isn't the tradition, but the place they assign it. Even though these were man-made traditions, Jews had placed them on par with God's law. In the case of Corban, they had replaced God's law with their tradition, dedicating money to the temple. You see, doing that is one thing, but doing it so that you didn't have to care for your aging parents, well, that was quite another. And that's what Jesus is getting at. Their man-made traditions had replaced the fourth commandment, dishonoring God and their parents by the tradition. It was the same with the hand washing. It became more than a tradition. It had become God's law. Even though God never commanded any type of hand washing, they were unreasonably and wrongly burdening the consciences of people. The Pharisees had accused Jesus' disciples of sinning because they did not wash their hands, and yet God never said this was a sin. It was the Pharisees who did. But the problem with putting tradition on the same level as God's law is it creates sin and guilt where there is no sin and guilt. Making the sign of the cross is a good tradition, but can you be accused of a sin by not doing it? Or doing it left to right instead of right to left? Well, of course not. Should one feel guilty because you don't receive ashes on Ash Wednesday or light the Advent candles in the wrong order? Oh, no. Or not standing in the service when everybody else is standing? God did not command any of this. So it is wrong to accuse others of sinning by either doing them or not. We can't call something a sin that God did not call a sin. We cannot create guilt in others where there is no guilt. Doing this puts our traditions in a place of God's law. And when that happens, good traditions stop being useful. But the problem doesn't stop there. Traditions in place of God's law is bad. But perhaps worse is putting traditions in place of the gospel. That's what happens when we begin to think that our traditions make us righteous or more pleasing before God. The Pharisees were so strict about traditions because that they believed they could be pure in God's eyes by keeping them. Imagine, pure in God's eyes because they washed their hands. This mistakenly thought that giving Corban to the temple was pleasing to God and earned merit with him. They assumed God would be impressed with them because they were so good at keeping these man-made laws, which to them were over and above God's law. And it's easy to fall into that trap. We all do it. Feeling superior for making the sign of the cross when others don't. The pride we carry with us as we wear our ashes into SARS or Safeway after service. Why? Because deep down, we think these traditions make us better in the eyes of God. And that is wrong. We should never think that keeping traditions, no matter how useful, makes us righteous and pleasing to God. That job belongs to Jesus and to Jesus only. Paul tells us that we are justified by his grace as a gift from the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, received by faith. There is nothing else. Not our traditions, not our keeping of the law, not hand washing or ashes or giving up something for Lent. Nothing but Jesus makes us pure and righteous in the eyes of God. You all have been washed in the waters of baptism and covered by the blood of Jesus. You are already clean. And not just your hands, but your hearts also. You are righteous in God's sight because you have been joined in baptism to Jesus' perfect suffering, dying and rising again. It is a gift given to you by Jesus, and it is received by faith. If we have traditions that distract us from Jesus' salvation, that directs us in faith towards something we do, or leads us to spurn God's word, then it's time to rethink those traditions, lest we become those who honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. But traditions done in faith that direct us to Jesus and his salvation are good and useful because they support God's law and gospel, not replacing them. The sign of the cross, ashes on our foreheads, and changing the colors on the altar are meant to point sinners to Jesus and teach us about the salvation that he has accomplished for us. By his grace, may our Lord preserve useful traditions so that we may grow in our faith in Jesus and our love for his word may grow and increase among us.